question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass
These
descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Thursday, May 31st, 2012, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
Who's who in the L.A. County DA's race on June 5th? And Chris Hedges on journalism, his life, death, destruction, and love. Plus, Occupy this album.
Eyes drop when the bellow meadows out. But I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. The race for LA County District Attorney has intensified as six candidates compete for the spot being vacated by current District Attorney Steve Cooley, who announced he will step down after serving three consecutive terms. Frontrunners to take Cooley's position include DA Chief Deputy Jackie Lacey and Deputy DA Danette Myers, two female candidates who have garnered the support of major LA papers and local political organizations like the LA Democratic Party. Also in the running is current city attorney Carmen Trutanich. Trutanich has drawn criticism from the public and local media for not keeping his 2008 promise of not running for another position before completing his current office. In running for the position of city attorney in 2008, Trutanich pledged to donate $100,000 of his own personal funds to an after-school program and publish ads calling himself a liar if he failed to serve out his term once elected. A Daily News editorial boldly urged the public to vote ABC, anybody but Carmen, while the LA Times and LA Weekly vehemently criticized Trutanich for his disproportionate prosecution and jailing of street artists, political dissenters, pot smokers, and other low-level offenders at a time when Los Angeles is facing a prison overcrowding crisis. Other candidates for the county district attorney's office include Republican prosecutor Alan Jackson and the more progressive deputy DA Bob Grace. Grace has a history of being involved in community programs aimed at at-risk youth, fighting domestic violence, as well as being involved with nonprofits aiding underprivileged youth. My guest is Ron Kay, former editor of the Daily News, currently a blogger at ronkla.com. Welcome to Uprising, Ron.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, before we get into any of these candidates, how do you summarize Steve Cooley's legacy? It hasn't been without controversy. He's known for a few things, such as opposing Prop 83, et cetera. And why do you think he is stepping down?
Well, I think Steve's been around a long time. He's got his wonderful pension and... I think he's been pretty bored with the job. That's why he ran for Attorney General, the race that Kamala Harris won. He thought he was going to have a cakewalk against her, and she proved quite formidable.
For State Attorney General.
Mm-hmm. State Attorney General. And I think that was a sign that Steve had done his time, and it was time to get on with retirement and enjoying life.
Well, let's talk about the most high-profile candidate, and that's Carmen Trutanich, the current city attorney. On our program, we have interviewed a number of activists over the past year whose civil disobedience actions normally would have been met with a slap on the wrist, but have instead, under Trutanich's term, been criminalized pretty severely. Is that one of the main issues to watch out for with Trutanich, or is there more?
Well, I think there's a whole lot of issues with Trutanich. I was a very early supporter of his when he was not known by anybody running for city attorney. He was running against a very unpopular councilman, Jack Weiss, who seemed to have a lock on the race and was very appealing, a fresh face, not part of the political machine, a guy with experience in the private sector who'd actually earned a living without holding, it wasn't a professional politician. And I bought into it, and so did most of the media. large numbers of community activists on all sides of political issues. And Trutanich pulled off a stunning victory against the odds and against a better-funded candidate. What happened was he immediately tripped up, threatening to jail the head of AEG Staples Center, Tim Lewicki, over the costs of the Michael Jackson funeral. He threatened to jail Councilwoman Jan Perry for fighting him on billboard laws. He was a bull in a china shop, trampling over everything. And over time, we saw a lot of erratic behavior that in various ways. He locked up a building owner in Hollywood on $1 million bail for allowing a movie to be promoted in a super graphic, which was at most a misdemeanor that doesn't get $1 million bail. He was throwing his weight around in a law and order way, and the result was that the city council, the mayor, started gutting his budget, tripping him up in every direction as he tried to crusade to eradicate marijuana dispensaries. And so we had this sort of contradiction between the politics and of what he was doing and the politics of the rest of the city, and he was clumsy about it to begin with. And eventually he knuckled under to the pressure to be able to get funding for his office, got a deal with the mayor, and started dancing with the people he promised to prosecute and clean up City Hall and change the political culture.
So he went from being somebody who was not a seasoned politician to exactly fitting into the role that most politicians assume.
You're exactly right, and that's why the community support more than a year and a half ago started to disappear on people who had given him money, who had walked precincts for him, who had done everything they could. And it was because he had become one of them. When what we wanted was a fresh voice from outside who was going to fulfill his promise that we're going to change the way politics is played in the city of Los Angeles was one of the things that he said. And the result was he criminalized the graffiti artist and tried to prosecute him, even as the Geffen Contemporary Museum was holding a highly popular Art in the Streets exhibition celebrating great graffiti art. It was out of step with, I think, the city, even as he became part of the machine approving planning rules that threatened the quality of life in one neighborhood after another.
And yet he has gotten so much support. The LA County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, has endorsed him, as have people like Jose Huizar, Bill Rosendahl, Brad Sherman, Governor Jerry Brown, State School Superintendent Tom Torlakson, John Perez, this Assembly Speaker, as well as a host of law enforcement groups. And, you know, how is it that he has got this organizational support? The SEIU's USWW, United Service Workers West, has endorsed him as well.
Well, it's really shocking, and it's what is so upsetting to me is that the forces of power congeal around the people who will serve them. And it's not the liberation that LA needs of independent voices and a real conversation of how we make life better at all levels of our society, create opportunity and a better life for people. The forces of the status quo are looking after themselves, whether it's the police officer associations or labor leaders. Those who have got to want to protect what they've got, and we don't have countervailing forces. And that's why I think the DA's race is so interesting, is there are five qualified people with a lot of experience, demonstrated integrity, all of them county prosecutors who bring something different to the table for four Democrats, I believe, and one Republican, and Alan Jackson. Mm-hmm. Spent time with Jackie Lacey. I mean, these are sincere, qualified people. Whether they will remain who they seem to be now if they get elected remains to be seen.
Now, Carmen Krutanich had made a very high-profile pledge when he was running for this office. He basically pledged that he would serve out his term, and if he broke that promise, he would put out ads saying that, with a big photo of his, saying that he was a liar in big block letters, and that he would donate $100,000 of his own money to after-school programs. How much traction is that getting in the press, and is anybody trying to confront him about it?
Well, I think it's been all over the place. Alan Jackson put out a great video ad mocking him, and it's been played everywhere. You know, the L.A. Times, L.A. Weekly, Daily News, other papers that were generally supportive or outright supporters of Krutanich have turned against him. There was a great article the week LA Weekly did back in February. It was very long, very detailed, and laid out what's wrong with his performance, whether it was, you know, what he did to the Occupy LA protesters, charging 50 criminally and making 250 others pay $375 to sit through a First Amendment video to avoid prosecution. I mean, all excessive behaviors of somebody who should be anything except the darling of Democrats and labor unions. Mm.
The LA Weekly cover article on Krutanich also revealed that he has a plaque hanging in his office, quoting a Greek historian, that says, "The strong do as they will, the weak do as they must." And I'm wondering if that's...
That says a lot, doesn't it, Sonali?
Right.
About the mentality of this sort of self-styled Ayn Rand character, you know.
Well, then who is the alternative that you suggest should be paid attention to? I mentioned that some of the other candidates as one Republican, Alan Jackson, but then there's also Danette Myers, Jackie Lacey, and Bob Grace.
I think they're all qualified. My personal favorites, just based on their experience, is Jackie Lacey, who's been chief deputy. An African-American woman who is a really good person that I know.
And is she polling well? And I don't know if there's been any polling done on this race, but in terms of who's likely to win, is there a sense that Krutanich has voter support? And if not, who else might be a front runner?
Well, it's going to be a very low turnout.
Right.
The fear is that he's going to win 50% of the vote on next Tuesday and shut off the debate that we need about realignment, about the death penalty, about public corruption. These are issues that get lost in a field of six. But if it gets down to two people and Krutanich is under 50, I think whoever runs second or is in the runoff with him would stand a very strong chance of being able to reach voters. In this primary, I just don't know. And that's why I've personally been hitting Krutanich hard, is to try to use whatever influence I might have to get people to pick any of the candidates, because every vote that he doesn't get is a vote that forces a runoff. Hmm.
The Crawford Family Forum hosted a debate earlier this week among the candidates for the L.A. County District Attorney seat. Krutanich apparently was the only candidate to not show up.
Well, he has a lot of reasons to hide. It's not just the campaign pledge that he made against Jack Weiss 3 years ago. He falsely claimed police, law enforcement organizations as supporters. He put up a video online that claimed 700,000 YouTube hits, almost all of them paid for by his campaign through a marketing firm. He's been a loose cannon, who at the same time has demonstrated his obedience to the political system at a time when I think we need change. We need public conversations, as we try to figure out where our city, our county, our state, our nation are going. For me, this is a historical turning point. And the district attorney has about as much power as anybody to decide who goes to jail, who gets prosecuted, matters of life and death, and public safety. It's a really important job that I hope people will pay a little bit of attention to before they go into the voting booth.
Ron K., I want to thank you very much for joining us today. And your website is ronkayela.com.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Sonali.
Ron K. is a former editor of the Daily News, currently blogging at ronkayela.com. We've been talking about the race for the Los Angeles County District Attorney seat. Happening next Tuesday, it's going to be on your ballot if you're a voter in LA County. This is an election that will have low turnout. June elections traditionally do. However, if you tune into Uprising this, if you have been tuning in this week and will continue to tune in through to next Tuesday, you'll hear a lot of coverage of some of the choices that you'll have to make on the ballot. And if you missed any of our interviews from earlier in the week, just check uprisingradio.org. And we're going to post this interview up there as well. This is Uprising. And after this short break, we will take a look at what Chris Hedges, journalist and best-selling author, has been up to. Stay tuned. Come On, Come On by Jackson Browne off of the 4-disc set called Occupy This Album. This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're continuing and attempting to end very quickly this spring fun drive. We turn next to Chris Hedges, who spent 2 decades as a foreign correspondent in the Middle East, Africa, and the Balkans. He was at the New York Times for 15 years and was part of a team of writers that won the Pulitzer Prize in 2002 for coverage of global terrorism. Chris Hedges has taught at Columbia, New York University, Princeton, and is currently a senior fellow at the Nation Institute and a columnist at TruthDig.com. His acclaimed books include War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning, American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War in America, Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle, The Death of the Liberal Class, as well as The World as It Is, Dispatches on the Myth of Human Progress. His latest book is a collaboration with author and graphic artist Joe Sacco called Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. Earlier this year, Chris Hedges appeared on UCTV in an interview with Dean Nelson as part of the 17th Annual Writers Symposium by the Sea at Point Loma Nazarene University. Special thanks to UCTV for sharing the video of this interview, which is our thank you gift to you today for a pledge of $75 at 818-985-5735. We're also very pleased to announce that Chris Hedges is coming to Los Angeles on June 28th. He's going to be speaking at an event organized by your very favorite community radio station, KPFK. He'll be speaking at 7 p.m. on June 28th at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. And we're very proud to announce and be the first to announce this event and your opportunity to get tickets to see Chris speak about his newest book with Joe Sacco. The book that he did with Joe Sacco. Chris will be there by himself. And you can get tickets anytime this hour to that event. They have just gone on sale at 818-985-5735. They're $15 for singles, $25 for pair, so they're pretty affordable. And if you call and make that pledge, we will put your name at will call. You can also get the DVD of this video of Chris Hedges' interview that I'll turn to next. He was interviewed by Dean Nelson. That video is available for a $75 pledge.
You have said that war is an addiction, and that it's a powerful narcotic, but you also say that covering wars is an addiction and like a narcotic. How is it like a narcotic?
Well, soldiers and Marines call it a combat high, and it's real. first of all, combat itself is a kind of Zen-like experience. I mean, even colors are brighter. You're aware or present in ways that you never were before. A battlefield can replicate a variety of synthetic drug trips, hallucinogenic landscapes after heavy shelling. You never sleep, you know, that kind of zombie hashish-like state. And it is a world that perverts and deforms and destroys you. And if you spend long enough in its grip, it's very hard to fit in anywhere else. So, you know, war correspondents are a small fraternity and tend to leap from conflict to conflict to conflict. So when I was covering the war in Kosovo, there were two reporters there who I had covered the war with in El Salvador 20 years before.
Yeah, but when I read Hemingway, he made it sound pretty cool. And I read your stuff, and you say it messed you up.
Well, I mean, that's why Fitzgerald was a better writer than Hemingway. Hemingway...
He made it cool.
Yeah, it was romance. But, I mean, it was that mythic version of war, which isn't real. And I don't know that in his first book that I think there was more sort of honesty. By the time he got to his, you know, For Whom the Bells Tolls and the Nick Adams stories, yeah, I think that's right. But Hemingway was, like Hunter Thompson and other writers, a perfect example of, in some ways, of what you don't want to become. I think Mailer, we were talking about earlier, became like this. You know, you become a caricature of who you are. And I think that the more sort of notoriety or celebrity you gain, the more you have to build walls to keep the outside world out, because people, you can dine out on that caricature, but it'll kill your art. Some of Hemingway's very early stories, Clean Well-Lighted Place, you know, Hills Like White Elephants, are very, A Cat in the Rain, very touching, very sensitive, very moving. And if you look at the end of his career with the Nick Adams stories, they're awful. And I think the same was true with Hunter Thompson, immensely gifted, both as a journalist and a writer. His first book on the Hell's Angels is brilliant.
It was a great book.
Brilliant piece of journalism. Of course, Fear and Loathing and Campaign Trail in Las Vegas. And then, you know, look what the schlock that he churned out in the end.
Yeah.
So, I think Hemingway was sort of an example of that, yeah.
And yet, you've even said that you'd rather die covering war than go back to the routine of life.
Well, I don't, not now, but I mean, I certainly, during the war in El Salvador, I think, you know, when I was there for 5 years and 22 reporters were killed, and a lot of people, a lot of combat, and I think there comes a certain point where you just realize that you're not, I didn't think I would leave alive. And you become so consumed. I think this often happens in the first war you cover. You become so consumed by it that you're just willing to sort of fatally accept that. I mean, and I watched reporters leave, and a photographer, a Newsweek photographer, went to Miami, and he just couldn't cope. He couldn't, and he came back. And the moment he stepped off the plane, we knew he'd come back to die. And he was shot through the back and killed in a firefight in less than about 30 seconds. So I think that it's very hard to escape from the culture of war when you descend to the level that we descended to. And that's why so many, I mean, I knew Marine Colvin.
Recently died in Syria.
Killed in Syria. And you keep going back. It's like, you know, that dance with death, that moth towards the flame. You go back for one more hit, and then you don't come back. And I write about my friend Kurt Schork, who I covered the war in Iraq with, and in Bosnia and Sarajevo, and later in Kosovo. And he goes off to Sierra Leone, and he's killed with another friend of mine in ambush, Miguel Gil Moreno. They just couldn't break free from that dance with death.
So three journalists have died recently in Syria. At some point, when you would read these accounts, or would you think that could have been me?
Of course, because in the case of Colvin and the French photographer, they were in a building that was hit by rockets. They started running down the stairwell. They were 10 feet from the door. The other rocket came in and killed. I mean, I've been in exactly. I mean, I wasn't friends with Marie. I knew her and I worked around her. I mean, she was a colleague, but I was a little surprised at how deeply her death affected me. And I think because it triggered precisely, I'd been there.
Chris Hedges talking about his career as a war correspondent at an interview that he did recently and that was aired on UCTV. And that is our thank you gift to you today for a pledge of $75, an amazing hour-long intimate discussion with one of the most important journalists of our times, not just journalists, but philosophers and thinkers, who has created a very important moral standard. And he's coming to Los Angeles on Thursday, June 28th. He's going to be speaking at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. KPFK is proud to host him here. And we want you to come to see Chris Hedges speak about his newest book that he has co-written with Joe Sacco. Actually, Joe Sacco does the art. And the book is called Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. Tickets are $15 a single, $25 a pair, which is quite affordable. We hope you'll come. All proceeds, of course, benefit KPFK. The number to call is 818-985-5735. I want to announce my main gift, thank you gift to you today for this hour that Martina and I worked very hard to put together. We want you to be able to support KPFK every day of the year, not just during fund drives. And you can do that by literally donating $1 a day to KPFK. Well, I don't mean coming to the station and giving us a dollar, but to pledging $365 for Uprising's Dollar a Day pack, where if you make that pledge of $1 a day to KPFK, we will give you the DVD of Chris Hedges' interview, as well as speeches on DVD by Van Jones, Michelle Alexander, Cornel West, and Tavis Smiley, and Gabor Mate. That's five DVDs of talks and interviews by KPFK. We'll also put in the Best of the Drive MP3 CD, which has 10 hours of audio, including audio of all of the various talks and interviews. And we'll put in the 4-disc album, Occupy This Album, into the pack for $365. In fact, let's listen to some music from that particular amazing album set, Occupy This Album. And if you pledge $1 a day to KPFK for this amazing set of DVDs and CDs, we will send you, or we will rather put your names on the list for the Chris Hedges event. It's a free bonus gift with your $1 a day pack to KPFK that if you pledge $1 a day to KPFK for the Uprising $1 a day pack, you get a pair of free tickets to see Chris Hedges June 28th. That's the whole package for today. There's nothing else that I'm going to be announcing between now and the end of the hour. No extra bonus gifts. The bonus gift is the pair of tickets. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Occupy This Album, very popular thank you gift on Uprising the last time we announced it. This single is by a former punk rocker named Matt Pless, who sang this song at Zuccotti Park in New York. And this particular song was what inspired Occupy This Album. Let's take a listen. Something's Gotta Give by Matt Pless.
So tell your brothers and tell your sisters, it may take some time, but something's got to give. May the reigning kings and queens have some compassion. May the pauper sleep with four walls and a meal. May the hawks of war lay down their angry weapons. May the desperate have no reason left to steal.
Matt Pless, Something's Gotta Give, track one from the amazing set of tracks, 76, actually 78 tracks, as two hidden tracks on Occupy This Album, the 4-disc set, which is part of our $1 a day pack, the Uprising $1 a day pack, $365 for 5 CDs and 5 DVDs at 818-985-KPFK. If you make that $365 pledge, you can also get a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges June 28th at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church at an event organized and hosted by KPFK. We're so excited to present Chris Hedges to you here in Southern California, presenting his new book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. We have three callers on the line right now. The four CD set is Occupy This Album. The fifth CD is our Best of the Drive MP3 CD that has nearly 10 hours of audio, including the interview by Chris Hedges we're featuring this hour and speeches by Michelle Alexander, Gabor Mate, Van Jones, Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, and many, many others. If you'd like to get the tickets to see Chris Hedges by themselves, they're $25 a pair, $15 for singles, or they're free with your $365 pledge for the 5-CD, 5-DVD set. 818-985-KPFK is that phone number. I want to turn back to Chris Hedges, who was asked by the interviewer, Dean Nelson, in this interview that aired on UCTV that was just conducted a few weeks ago, about how Chris goes from anger, which you really feel a lot in his writings and his speeches, from anger to love.
Your books really come across as angry. I'm guessing I'm not the first one who's told you that. You're angry at hapless politicians, gutless news media, gullible populations, shameless corporations, and you really do seem angry at everything, and yet you always follow up that anger with a discussion about love. How do you get to love after you've seen what you've seen and come to the conclusions that you've come to about all these different groups that you think are morons?
Well, I mean, isn't that what Isaiah and Elijah, and I mean, isn't that what all the prophets did? They were angry. Augustine said that hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage, anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they don't remain the way they are. And I think a deep anger at injustice and human cruelty is ultimately an expression of empathy and love. And to be in a privileged position to come out of having spent months in Gaza and to understand how the Palestinians suffer and to feel it and to have it hurt and to see the indifference and callousness of the outside world is to make you angry. But it is an anger that I think is bred out of a kind of compassion and a kind of identification with human suffering. I mean, that's always the problem with coming back from the outer reaches of empire. I remember having a long discussion at the inception of the Afghan war with other professors at Princeton who talked about how we were going to liberate the women of Afghanistan, and as if once you start using explosive devices like Hellfire missiles, you can even talk about human rights. And I was the only one at the table who'd actually been in a war zone. And yet I had to sort of speak in that rational, cold, academic language while this mounting frustration, almost hysteria, because all sorts of images, visual images, were bubbling to the surface, which were probably inappropriate to share. And I think that is very true for those of us who come out of this experience and have seen the callousness of what we do and the cruelty of what we do, and coping with even well-meaning naivete, people who mean well but finally don't understand and don't want to look. Conrad got this in Heart of Darkness. I mean, finally, when he confronts Kurtz's fiancée, he can't tell her Kurtz's dying words, which are the horror of the horror. And he says he died speaking of you, which was a lie. And I think that is, you know, the great fable of empire and the inability of those who live within the heart of empire to see what is done in their name, who they are.
But how do you get the love from that? I mean, you were imprisoned by the Iraqi Republican Guard. You've had guns held at your head for hours at a time. You had a price on your life. How do you get the love from there?
When I graduated from college and I went to live in that housing project for 2.5 years in Boston, in Roxbury, and ran a church there, I was not prepared to see the kind of human suffering that is visited upon our urban poor. And it was not a kind of suffering that I had even imagined. And I remember going back to my great mentor at Colgate, the chaplain, Coleman Brown, and just sitting down in his office and saying, are we created to suffer? And he said, is there any love that isn't? I think that when you love deeply, you suffer deeply. When you care about Palestinians or Iraqis or Salvadorans who are enduring tremendous cruelty, then your vehemence by which you express their suffering is interpreted as being angry, when in fact it's born out of, I think, deep affection.
Chris Hedges speaking with Dean Nelson at an interview that was so intimate and so raw that it really captured in many ways the essence of who he is as a journalist, how he has come to be who he is, how his experience has led him to become not just the journalist that he is, but the writer and the speaker that he is. Chris Hedges is coming to Los Angeles Thursday, June 28th. We're so excited to announce for the first time this event that is hosted by KPFK, organized by KPFK, Thursday, June 28th at 7 p.m. at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. You can get tickets right now. And, of course, seats are always limited. At 818-985-5735, $25 a pair, $15 for a single. Or you can get those tickets, a pair of tickets free, with your pledge of $365 for Uprising's Dollar a Day pack. That includes the DVD of Chris Hedges' interview. It also includes DVDs of Michelle Alexander, Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, Van Jones and Gabor Mate. It includes the four-disc set, Occupy This Album, amazing music with 78 tracks featuring such artists as Annie DeFranco, Lucinda Williams, Jackson Brown, Michael Moore, and others, as well as the best of the 2012 Drive MP3 CD that features all of these speeches, plus Richard Wolff, Van Jones, Michelle Alexander. So all of the speeches in audio format. That is five discs, five CDs and five DVDs, 10 discs total, for a pledge of $365. That's $36.50 per disc, which is much less than what we have been offering them for individually. And if you make that $365 pledge, we're essentially going to give you all of the material that, and by the way, the MP3 CD also has the audio of the KPFK Hero Awards. We're going to give all of this audio and video to you for a pledge of $1 a day and throw in a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th for free. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK for a pledge of $1 a day to KPFK. We'll send you these CDs and DVDs. We'll also put your name down for you and a friend to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th. If you just want to get the tickets by themselves, they're $15 for single, $25 for a pair. But I really urge you to get the pack instead because it's the best deal we've put together so far. And we know everyone's looking for a deal. Times are tough. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. If you can't make it to the Chris Hedges event, but you want the dollar a day pack, you can certainly split it up into monthly installments at $30.40 a month, just a little over $30 a month, which is much easier on the wallet, certainly, than all 365 at once. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Occupy This Album, part of our thank you gift that we're featuring today as part of our pack. I want to turn to this incredible Depression era song, The Panic Is On, that was recorded by Ludden Wainwright III, Grammy Award winning songwriter, folk singer, humorist, and actor, happens to be Rufus Wainwright's father. And this song is a remake of the song that was quite popular in the 1930s, The Panic Is On, one of the 78 tracks on the four-disc set Occupy This Album, which is part of our Dollar a Day Uprising pack thank you gift for you for a pledge of $365.
What this country is coming to, some would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Things are getting worse each and every day. There's nothing to eat, no place to sleep. All night long, folks are walking the street. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. I saw a man this morning walking down the street. No shoes on his feet. You ought to seen the women in their flats. You look at him saying, what kind of man is that? Doggone, I mean, the panic is on.
There's something for everybody in this four-disc set. Occupy, this album, folk, country, rock, hip-hop, you know, just amazing, even some new age music. And you have folks like Willie Nelson, Tom Morello, Third Eye Blind. Michael Moore sings an amazing version of the Dylan song, The Times They Are Changing. That's definitely worth hearing. Immortal Technique, Debbie Harry. As well as Jackson Brown, Joan Baez, Steve Earle, Lucinda Williams, Amanda Palmer. Amazing collection of music and musicians on the four-disc set Occupy, this album, which is our thank you gift to you today. In the Uprising Dollar a Day pack, you get the four discs along with the Best of the Drive MP3 CD and the five DVDs of a number of speeches and interviews, including Chris Hedges, Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, Michelle Alexander, Gabor Mate, and Van Jones. And we'll throw in a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges on June 28th, Thursday, June 28th, at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, 3300 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, 818-985-KPFK is that phone number. I want to turn back to Chris Hedges, who speaks next about the decline of the universities, what that means for not just students, but also what it means for American culture.
Books were your salvation, you say, but students are having the life sucked out of books at universities. There you go. There's a Fox News watcher right there. So what does that even mean?
Well, you know, if you look at how literature is taught, it's, I mean, any great artist, and including a great writer, of course, finally writes because they want to transform the reader. And the sort of obsession with literary criticism or folio criticism, it desiccates, I think, what these writers sought to convey. You know, Conrad wrote Heart of Darkness so that we would understand Iraq. But try getting into that discussion in a classroom. And having taught at some of the elite universities in this country, Princeton and Columbia, what distresses me is how we're just creating a class of systems managers. I mean, 49% of the graduating class of Harvard a couple years ago all went into the financial services industry, which is an utterly parasitic criminal enterprise. In the 17th century, speculators were hung, and now they run our economy and our government. And I mean, I know what gambling on commodity prices, Goldman Sachs is one of the biggest, does. I've been in the Sudan when nobody can afford wheat, because it's risen by 100%. Children die. Children starve. Lloyd Blankfein can make another $100 million bonus. I mean, this is just absolutely repugnant. There's a word for it. It's called murder. And yet our most elite institutions, I mean, I listen to Obama's State of the Union, and he talks about how he's going to improve American schools and so we can be competitive in the global marketplace. I mean, look, the best educated in this country are the ones who led us right into this mess. They all graduated from Harvard and Princeton and Yale, Larry Summers and Robert Rubin and the rest of them. The problem is greed, unchecked greed by a privileged elite. And institutions like Harvard bow before this elite. I mean, if there's any sort of, underside to, or, you know, sort of bright moment in Larry Summers' trashing of the American economy, we can take consolation in the fact that he pissed away one-third of the Harvard endowment by buying derivatives. He did. And so I find that, you know, students at these institutions, they're conditioned to be so deferential to authority. They have to do everything right in order to have to take all the right AP classes and get perfect grade point averages and perfect SAT. So by the time they get in there, they're certainly capable and intelligent in that kind of narrow analytical way that standardized testing rewards. And yet they're completely supine before systems of authority. And they are funneled straight into trading floors where they move people's money around electronically for 14 hours a day. And I think that educations academic institutions sort of crave and desire for money. I mean, look, the half of most trustee boards at these universities should be in jail. The hiring of presidents of colleges for $1 million a year is over-glorified fundraisers. They have nothing to do with education. It's really corrupted. And now you have in universities where they have to raise all their own funds, including their own salaries, including their own research money, and you watch humanities departments wither away and die because no corporation is going to back the classics department. And the humanities, because, you know, the humanities education is meant to be subversive. It's meant, it goes back to Socrates, it's meant to teach you to question assumptions and structures. And it's meant finally to teach you how to think. And that's very different from teaching you what to think. And I worry that, you know, we produce an education system that is purely vocational, and we don't teach people how to think. And so that when there's a financial meltdown in 2008, the only thing figures like Summers and others do is know how to serve a dead system, which is to reinflate a speculative economy by looting the U.S. Treasury in the largest transference of wealth upwards in American history. And there's a kind of idiocy to that. And it's perpetuated not because, America has low test scores in science. It's perpetuated by an elite which has no check on their own self-enrichment.
Chris Hedges, saying it like it is, and in an interview, an intimate interview that aired on UCTV, and we want you to have a copy of this interview as part of the Uprising Dollar a Day Pack, $365 pledge for an amazing collection of 5 CDs and 5 DVDs. The number to call is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Chris Hedges is coming to Los Angeles in just under a month at an event organized by KPFK, and you can get a pair of tickets to see Chris speak here as he discusses his latest book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. If you pledge that $365, we'll throw in a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges. The gift itself, the Dollar a Day Pack, includes the Best of the Drive, Best of the 2012 Drive MP3 CD, which has nearly 10 hours of audio on it, featuring Gabor Mate, Michelle Alexander, Van Jones, Cornel West, Tavis Miley, Chris Hedges, Richard Wolf, and the KPFK Hero Awards. It also features 5 DVDs of talks and interviews that we have already featured this drive: Gabor Mate, Smiley and West, Michelle Alexander, Van Jones, and Chris Hedges. And it includes the 4-disc set Occupy This Album and a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges. If you add all of this up, by the way, if you add up how much we normally ask in terms of donation levels for these DVDs and CDs individually and the tickets, it's $575. But instead of asking you for a $575 donation, we've cut it down to $365 so that you can show us love every day of the year at $365. We just need a handful of you calling in and pledging at that amount, and we will really be able to raise the goal. 2 of you have already called in to pledge for those packs. Thank you very much. I knew that it wouldn't be too long before folks realized how much we were giving away. 5 CDs and 5 DVDs and a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. It's a pledge of $365. Occupy This Album is part of our a thank you gift to you today. Michael Moore sings the Bob Dylan song, The Times They Are A-Changing. And we'll listen to that now. It's an amazing thing to hear filmmaker Michael Moore. Who knew he could sing? He sings the Dylan song, The Times They Are A-Changing, on this four-disc set. The amazing series of, amazing set of musicians who've put their talents together for this four-disc set. It's four out of the five CDs five DVDs that is our Uprising Dollar a Day pack that comes with a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges June 28th. Let's take a listen to Michael Moore.
For the times they are a-changing. Prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will later win, and the times they are
The times they are a-changing. Not Bob Dylan, but Michael Moore singing Bob Dylan's song on this amazing four-disc set of music, so popular when we first offered it on Uprising. Well, we're packaging it today together with the MP3 CD of all of the speeches and interviews in the KPFK Hero Awards, just a chock full of audio, and the five DVDs of speeches and interviews that we've offered in the past. Plus a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th, 2012, at 7 p.m. at 3300 Wilshire Boulevard at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Chris Hedges and Michael Moore and so many others have been so deeply involved in the Occupy movement. We want to actually thank you for your donation to KPFK with these gifts that we hope you will enjoy. I want to turn back to Chris Hedges speaking in this next clip from this interview that he did, which, by the way, is part of our thank you gift, both on DVD and in the MP3 CD. He talks about human nature.
Given all of the years that you have spent covering war and covering human tragedy, as well as your involvement with the Occupy movement and all these other things that you've been involved in, what do you understand now about human nature?
Well, I mean, I've certainly seen the dark side of human nature. I've seen that human beings like to destroy not only things, but other human beings. I know how intoxicating that is. I know how, through fear, whole populations can be rendered compliant in acts of evil. I have watched really courageous figures, Oscar Romero and others, stand up, lonely figures to speak truth at the cost of their own lives. I've certainly understood what it means, to bear witness. And yet, as Vasily Grossman writes in his beautiful book, Life and Fate, it's not a matter of systems of good and evil. It's a matter of, a great evil trying to crush these sort of kernels of human kindness. And yet the more senseless and vast and incomprehensible this kindness is, the more powerful it is. And I think that, and Viktor Frankl writes this, I mean, I think that is our humankind's meaning. I guess one comes out of the cauldrons of death with a certain understanding of death's destructive power, but also the power of love. And when the shells would come into Sarajevo, these huge 155 howitzers, 90-millimeter tank rounds, leaving dismembered bodies everywhere, you would see people, in the midst of just horrible carnage, you would see people push through the crowds looking for loved ones, and you could actually feel, they were palpable, radiating outwards these kind of concentric circles of death and love, death and love, death and love. And so that when you are at that level of despair and destruction, all the facades are torn down. And while death is powerful, you understand that love is powerful too. I mean, I was in Wenceslas Square for the Velvet Revolution every night with Vaclav Havel and the Magic Lantern. And I saw the power of lonely acts of resistance, where one of the great folk singers, Marta Kubashaya, I'm probably butchering her last name, who had sung that anthem of defiance when the Soviets came in 68, and then after the Soviets regained control and overthrew Dubček, she became a non-person. They destroyed her recording stock. You never heard her on the airwaves. She was reduced to working at an assembly line in a toy factory, and so there it is, 21 years later, and she walks out on that balcony, 500,000 people in the square, and she begins singing that song, and everyone around me knew every word. Most of the people around me hadn't even been born in 68. And the tears were sort of running down their cheeks that keeping that flame alive. I mean, Auden wrote it in 1st of September 1939. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them of Eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. There's a reason dictatorships seek to crush that flame, because it's far more powerful than we know.
Chris Hedges speaking in an intimate setting at Point Loma Nazarene University as part of the 17th Annual Writers' Symposium by the Sea, in an interview captured by UCTV. And part of our thank you gift to you today, for a pledge of $365, we'll send you this DVD of his interview, along with DVDs of speeches by Michelle Alexander, Van Jones, Cornel West, and Tavis Smiley, and Gabor Mate, and the best of the Drive MP3 CD, which has all of this audio plus more, and the KPFK Hero Awards audio plus the 4-disc set of Occupy, this album. And we'll throw in a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges June 28th at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. All of that. So 5 CDs. One of which is an MP3 CD, and 5 DVDs, and a pair of tickets for a pledge of only $365. We have one caller left on the line right now. We have 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes left in the hour. I'd love to fill up those phone lines at 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Last year, Chris Hedges spoke in Pasadena at an event that was standing room only. Many of you came and told us that you wanted him at a bigger venue. We heard you. And so the speech that he's giving on Thursday, June 28th, should accommodate as many people as possible, certainly many more than we were able to last time. But seats are limited. So if you want to call and make a pledge right now, you can pledge $25 a pair or $15 for a single ticket to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th. If they sell out before the end of the fund drive, you won't be able to just show up at the door. 818-985-5735 for a pledge of $365. We will send you the Occupy, this album 4-disc set. Actually, let's take a listen to one of the songs from that. This by Tao Rodriguez Seeger, who happens to be Pete Seeger's grandson, singing a well-known Pete Seeger song, Well May the World Go. Plus, you get with this 4-disc set featuring 78 songs inspired by the Occupy movement, you get the Best of the Drive MP3 CD, which has lots of audio, all the audio that we've been featuring on Uprising during this pledge drive, and 5 DVDs of talks and speeches and interviews that include Chris Hedges, Michelle Alexander, Van Jones, Gabor Mate, Smiley, and West, and a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We're nearly out of time. We have one caller on the line right now. We've got space for another 6 of you calling in and pledging a little over $30 a month to KPFK for this amazing set of gifts, which if we were offering them individually, if you wanted to get them individually, would actually end up being a donation amount of $575. We're only asking $365 because we know everybody is trying to save money these days. We're trying to raise money. It's a tough time to raise money. We're giving you as much as we can for, you know, as big a bang for your buck as we can. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Occupy, this album, 78 artists, plus the Best of Uprising, Best of the Drive MP3 CD, plus 5 DVDs of speeches and interviews, including Chris Hedges, and a pair of tickets to see Chris Hedges Thursday, June 28th at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. I'll be there, by the way, hosting the event. And I'm a huge fan of Chris Hedges, and if you are too, you get a chance to see him. We have one caller on the line right now. I can't believe that. We need a few more people as we end this hour. I gotta go, folks. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. We need many more of you calling in. It's a $365 pledge for 5 CDs, 5 DVDs, and a pair of tickets to see Chris. Thank you for that extra call. We have two callers on the line right now for Sonali's subversive thought for the day. Chris Hedges once said, "Hope has a cost. Hope is not comfortable or easy. Hope requires personal risk. It is not about the right attitude. Hope is not about peace of mind. Hope is action. Hope is doing something." Do something, folks. Call us, 818-985-KPFK. You've been listening to Uprising. Martina Steiner is our assistant producer. Leonardo Alanis is our intern. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Please keep those calls coming in. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow at 8.